Life Audio.
I'm Cynthia Garrett, and I will be right with you in just a moment after this.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Girl Club. You know where you are. It's one of those weeks where real girls are going to have some real talk about real issues while seeking to apply our real faith. And the real issues that we've been dealing with actually since last week have to do with the current situation going on in the Gaza Strip between Israel and Palestine and Hamas, the terrorist organization that is engineering a whole lot of shenanigans over there. So Nova Page, who you guys know, who's my sister in Christ, co-host here, part of the tribe, is in studio with me. And we're going to kind of continue this dialogue that we started last week with Christina Reynolds, in which we're just kind of nailing our resident theologian on just some questions and some insight into what's going on. So right here beside me, join me to have this conversation, somebody that Nova knows already very well, my husband, Roger Charles, who's a pretty awesome theologian.
Yeah. Oh, love you guys. Hey, love you, Roger. Roger, thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank you.
Yeah. Like,
thank
I
you
know
for being here.
Yeah. And we get to steal you for a little bit of time, and I'm grateful. So
I'm happy to.
So I just listen, Nova. So I want to for all of you who are regulars here, whether you're listening or watching on live stream, Anna, who's behind the scenes, really and truly, who's the right hand in my ministry, who is our technical guru, who helps make these broadcasts happen, has a husband who's pretty obsessed with all of what's going on and end time prophecy. And since that's where we are, Paul, shout out to Paul Richards, he sent in some questions all the way to us from England, not from London, but from Nottingham, you know, where Robin Hood is from. And I love these questions. And Roger, you got to really pay attention because these are pretty deep questions. So we're going to start here. Number one, I've heard that Hamas issued a statement saying that they carried out the terrorist attacks for two reasons. Number one, to prevent Israel and Saudi Arabia from signing a peace agreement. Number two, to prevent Israel from sacrificing the 10th and final red heifer, which will then mean that the Jews will believe that their priests will be able to be ritually clean and so offer twice daily sacrifices on the Temple Mount. Is this true? And if so, is this a strong indicator that Daniel's 70th week will be beginning soon? Whoa.
You want me to answer that fast?
Well,
all right, so here we go.
Whoa.
Most people don't know what Daniel's 70th week is. So I'll come back to that in a minute. Second of all, the first of the two statements, I believe, is correct. Hamas did have a statement about wanting to upend any peace agreement. But the second reason, I have not heard, and nor do I think that's correct. Maybe I'm wrong. The second reason that they published, if I remember correctly, was to get all of the Arab nations joined together in their cause. In other words, Hamas already knows that, first of all, they have a philosophy. If it takes 900 years to wipe out Israel, that's fine. And people have to realize that in Islam, the only guarantee that you go to heaven is if you die in a jihad. So I don't want to get all into that. Like I said before, read the book, Son of Hamas. Please read the book, Son of Hamas. But and you'll start to understand these things. But back to this. So remember, your only guarantee that you're going to heaven is to die in a holy war. And Muhammad did not define what a holy war was. So whatever a holy war, it's been interpreted a lot of different ways. So now, one definition, pretty strong definition among Muslim scholars, is that a holy war is when a area that's controlled by Muslims is attacked. That is a holy war. So they started a war so they would be attacked, is what their second goal was. In the Jews attacking a Muslim-controlled area in a war, technically, other Muslims should come aside alongside them to defend them in a holy war.
Okay. So they believe that other Muslims, if they're good Muslims, they would want to go and defend them in this holy war and die, and even die, because that's a guarantee of going to heaven.
Yes. And of course, like I said before, what we're seeing in the news out of Palestine, out of Gaza, I keep screwing that up, out of Gaza, is the reporting of the Hamas. The Hamas are in control of everything, including the health ministry. So when you see something from the Palestinian health ministry, it's just Hamas. So Hamas is reporting, you know, deaths and all of this. And you don't know if you can believe it or not, but the Arab world does. By the way, Al Jazeera accidentally filmed Hamas operating out of a hospital. They're not supposed to show that, but they accidentally showed it on Al Jazeera.
Jeez.
So they even showed it themselves that the Hamas military is using hospitals for cover. So anyway.
What about the Daniel's 70th week? What is Daniel's 70th week?
So in the book of Daniel, there is a prophecy given to him by the angel Gabriel. It's about 69 weeks of years. So a week in the Old Testament can be 7 days, or it can be 7 months, or it can be 7 years. So you have weeks of days, weeks of months, and weeks of years. In the book of Daniel, it's 70 weeks of years. And in the book of Daniel, he breaks it up between 69 weeks and then a 70th week. The 69 weeks lead up to the Messiah. Jesus, when he presented himself on a donkey to Jerusalem, was to the day 69 weeks of years from the order to go back to Jerusalem out of Babylon. So that prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus rode back into Jerusalem to present himself as Messiah. Then there's a gap between the 69th week and the 70th week. And the 70th week is the final 3 years. 3.5 years of peace, 3.5 years of judgment.
Okay. Now, Paul asks the question in an interesting way about all of this, saying, is what we are seeing the lead up to Daniel's 70th week, in which 2 out of every 3 Jews will be killed, rather than just the 1 in 3 that we saw in the Second World War?
Yes.
Wow.
And so I'm going to say it like this. The 70th week is the final 7 years. The last girl club that I did with you, we talked about the war in Ezekiel. The war in Ezekiel, at the end of it, it says, then Israel is going to turn and serve him. Right now, Israel's predominantly atheist. They don't believe that the Bible's true.
Right.
They don't believe in God. Most of Israel right now does not believe in God.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's true.
Well, I know they don't believe in Jesus.
No, they don't believe in God.
How could you even be from Israel and not believe in God when everything around you is a tribute to God?
It's true. Let's just skip that or we'll get bogged down.
Okay.
So Israel is primarily an atheistic state. The Orthodox Jews have a lot of power, and that's why they're still observing the Sabbath and so on. It's also why you don't see much of them following the law. So back to what we're talking about, I believe the battle, the war in Ezekiel 38, turns them back to God.
So the battle that you're referring to in Ezekiel 38 is the battle of Gog and Magog.
Well, there's 2 battles of Gog and Magog.
You're kidding me.
No, there's the Ezekiel 38 one. And there's Armageddon.
Okay, so what do you believe Daniel's 70th week is the lead up to?
No. Daniel's 70th week is the final week before Jesus returns.
Okay. So the
Now let's break that up. There's 2 Jesus returns, in a sense. One is he comes to gather the saints, what the church popularly calls the rapture. And that's the one we're to watch and be ready for, because no man knows the day or the hour.
Okay.
Armageddon, we know the day and hour. Once the 7 years start, it is spelled out in days. It's spelled out in years. It's spelled out in months and days. It's spelled out in every way possible in the Bible. Okay. To count those days. Literally. So when Jesus returns during Armageddon, we know exactly when he's coming.
What do you mean? When he returns during Armageddon, we know exactly when he's coming.
Yeah.
If he's already returned during Armageddon, he's already there.
No, of course we know he's coming. Nope. You're not understanding. Armageddon starts without Jesus being there.
Okay. No. Okay. So you said it confusing. So Armageddon starts and then we begin to count the number of days.
No, you got it wrong.
Okay.
Ezekiel 38 battle happens. We believe that the Jews will turn to God because Ezekiel 38 says so.
Which Ezekiel 38 battle? The first one or the Armageddon one?
There is no Armageddon one in Ezekiel 38. Only the battle before that's supposed to happen at some point.
That's the one between Gog and Magog.
That's the first one between Gog. No, Gog is the leader of Magog.
Okay.
That come to attack Israel.
Okay.
That's a war. It's not the end of the world.
Oh my God.
A war.
I don't know about you, but I'm so confused.
There is a war coming up.
Yes.
It is not the end of the world war.
Yes.
It is just a war.
Okay.
Gog and Magog will be part of it, Russia.
Okay.
It's just a war.
Okay.
But we believe at the end of that war, Israel will turn and not be an atheistic state anymore, but they will turn towards God.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Of them will turn towards Jesus, but that's another. All that matters is they turn towards God.
Okay.
They're not atheists anymore.
Well, if there's this major of a war, it's like there's no atheists in foxholes, right?
Right.
So this is sort of one of those wars that basically shakes people so much they turn and they go back to God.
Correct.
That means they can go nowhere else because man likes to go everywhere before he goes back to God.
So that first battle, let's just call it battle.
Okay.
Is not Armageddon, nor is it necessarily part of Daniel's 70th week.
Okay.
So there's a lot of technical stuff. It could be. It could be part of what leads, like it could be the start of the 7 years and what draws the Antichrist to power. But remember, the Antichrist is not revealed till the midpoint, 3.5 years in. We won't know for sure the Antichrist until 3.5 years in. I think we'll have a lot of clues. And I don't know if we'll be here because the Lord may take us out before all that in the rapture.
Right.
At the latest.
I hope so. At
the latest.
I hope so for me.
The Lord takes us out when the Antichrist is revealed. That's Thessalonians.
Okay.
Well, we can't get into all this and have a short enough conversation.
Okay. Well, I would have to be taken out because literally this stuff is so difficult to follow to me. I would be walking around in the middle of a nuclear like Holocaust going, I forgot. Am I supposed to go through that door or pray? What am I supposed to do?
Paul asked very complicated, your average person questions.
He did.
But he knows the background. That's why he asked it.
Okay. So while you're giving these answers, this bears a lot of, needs a lot of fleshing out.
So his question is, why don't the Jews yet possess the full land that God gave them?
That's sort of which is kind of to me the most important part of this whole line of questioning that Paul sent in, which I actually did in reverse because he asked really the point of the question first, and then he asked all these technical details. I started with the technical details first because honestly, I'm trying to get you to understand that they actually don't matter. What really matters to me is this, which is the first part of what he asked. Why don't the Jews yet possess the full land that God has given them? Is it because of rejecting Jesus?
No.
Short answer. And I knew it would be. So
do you want to know why they don't possess it?
Yes.
They never possess it. They've never yet possessed it.
The whole thing, right, Roger? Wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a lot more territory. They didn't
take a lot more.
But he says, why don't the Jews yet possess the full land that God has given them?
And in the first place, they never got it with Joshua through their unbelief.
So it is it because of rejecting Jesus?
No, it's because they didn't take it with Joshua.
Because of their, because of their unbelief.
In God's promise.
It's 12 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah, they didn't take it because.
In the wilderness.
Well, no, but when they came into the land, they took part of the land. And then that was like, it's good enough.
Yeah, it was enough. They didn't, because they had to go and get it and they didn't take it, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Because it was promised to them, but they didn't take it.
Why didn't they take it?
There's so much land. If you look at the original piece that was supposed to go to them, honestly, I was just looking at it the other day. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then it's like, Israel's right here. It's so small. It's shockingly small, actually.
So because of their lack of faith, because of their unbelief, they have they took a little piece that they could comprehend, and then they let their enemies set up all around them.
Well, that's part of it. And that, from a human point of view, is the worst part of it. But that's not really the worst part of it. When God tells you to do something, it's for a reason. Now, he might not give you the reason. And if you notice, when Israel takes over the land, in some cases, they kill every man. In some cases, they kill every human. In some cases, they kill every human and every animal. Why would God tell them that? It's when all the animals were diseased. It's when pedophilia was normal in the land. Now, we forget that all of these people, their lives are eternal. And God knew who had rejected him or accepted him or whatever. We are all going to die. And in God's economy, dying is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You just graduate and go to the next level. But when the Israelites took over the promised land, it was 400 years after God promised it to Abraham. And he said, you don't get the promised land now. Their sins are not yet full. When Israel, through Joshua, took over the land, it was diseased beyond repair. But it took 400 years to get there. If you have dogs, if you have dogs, and you have one that gets rabies, you don't allow that dog to infect the other dogs. In fact, rabies is so bad, you kill the dog because it's just going to kill itself anyway. And it's going to be a horrible death. It's better to cut it off with a gunshot. So what God was doing was cutting off the diseased land, and in some cases, animals. Some cases, it was just the men were evil. Others, the men and women. Others, the men, women, and children. It wasn't that the children were evil, but they had been so abused and diseased that they had to take even the kids out. Now, God loves those kids, and every one of those kids went to heaven. That's not the point with God. This world is not it. That one is.
Right.
And we forget that. We forget God cares about eternity more than this life.
Right.
So,
but we,
they didn't take the rest of the land. And because they didn't take it, then the rest of the land took them eventually.
I mean, it's so deep to think about it spiritually. How do we do this in our own lives all the time? How many ways do we not fully possess a promise that God is giving, has given us? Or even when we think he's spoken something to us that we're supposed to believe and receive in faith. And we do believe it and we receive it in that moment in faith, but we don't, then we question it. We can only receive a part of it.
Well, and it's an act of disobedience, right? It's partial obedience. It's actually why Saul was replaced as king of Israel, because he had only partly do God's will.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing about Israel. The land it possessed was good enough. Yes, it was, to sustain them, give them the land they needed, the crops they needed. And so they settled down with what they needed. But what they didn't realize, it wasn't what they ultimately needed.
Wow.
It wasn't even about their needs anyway. It was about a cleansing. And without that cleansing, they ended up worshiping the idols of their neighbors.
Wow.
So the purity of our relationship with God is what gets tested.
Wow.
It's heavy, isn't it?
It's so heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I mean,
that's
literally
a good statement.
Yeah.
The purity of our relationship with God is what gets tested.
And what does God say? That the testing of our faith is more precious than fine gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing can be compared to the priceless value to God of the purity of your faith.
Oh my God.
That's inspired. That's I'm sitting here and I feel like that inspiration to just like the, all I need is you, Lord, just you, right? All I want, all I need is you.
Let's just read it. Okay. Because it matters. Right.
Yeah.
You know, wow. This is First Peter, first chapter. So, you know, this is important.
You want me to read it? So
yeah.
So I can save your voice.
Okay. Right here.
From chapter 3.
No, that's chapter 1, verse 3. Stop. You're messing it up. Okay.
1 Peter 1,
verse 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is, into an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It is reserved in heaven for you, who by God's power are protected through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. This brings you great joy, although you may have to suffer for a short time in various trials. Such trials show the proven character of your faith, which is much more valuable than gold. Gold that is tested by fire, even though it is passing away, and will bring praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You have not seen him, but you love him. You do not see him now, but you believe in him, and so you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy because you are attaining the goal of your faith. That is the salvation of your souls.
So this is the purging of unbelief, right?
Wow. So it's the purging of, unbelief in Israel. It's the purging of unbelief in all of us.
Every trial that anybody ever goes through
is about the purging of unbelief.
You said there's no atheists in foxholes.
Right. Because they're wow. He said, he reminded me of what I said. There are no atheists in foxholes.
When you're about to die, you're praying.
Of course not. Because you're at a point in a foxhole when you're under all pressure, hell has broken loose. That at that point, you're purged of unbelief and you start calling out to that which you don't even believe in, which is God. If you're an atheist, right, you don't believe in God. The saying, there are no atheists in foxholes, indicates that even those who don't believe can find themselves in situations where they sure hope that what they don't believe isn't even true and that there is a God.
You know, what's funny is when I was an atheist, I actually said a prayer to God. And it was, and if you're there, do this. And, you know, what's funny is he did it. Well, I shouldn't even say he did it. He allowed it. And it was the worst thing I could possibly have. It was destruction. So what I asked for, I got, but it was destruction. And I didn't believe anyway. I still didn't trust God, even though I got what I asked for.
That word purging of unbelief. It's like when I purge something, like it's nasty. You know, when you like you're purging things from your house they've collected and like how much unbelief have we collected that we need to purge?
Well, and notice how he uses gold. Have you ever seen gold purged? It gets so melted hot. This scum, this nasty layer of worthless scum comes to the top and they have to scrape it off, right? That's the purging. It's through fire.
Through fire. Yeah, the testing.
It brings it up. It brings up the scum.
Gold that is tested by fire, even though it is passing away?
Gold is passing away.
What do you mean?
Gold is not going to last, but he's saying even gold, which is passing away, is tested by fire.
So such trials show the proven character of your faith, which is much more valuable than gold.
Right.
Because your faith lasts. It's not passing away. You know what's so deep, Nova, is, you know, like, okay, so, you know, to get personal, right? Which you know, but all right, so we'll go here. Like, Roger's had 6 surgeries. We're looking at number 7, and God's gotten us through all of it. And yesterday we were talking, and I said, but I don't understand why. And you said to me, maybe he's testing your faith. And that, I mean, I didn't get it like I do right now because my head is blowing open right now. But I think it's like he has spoken to me, right, exactly. For those of you watching the live stream, you're seeing a head blown emoji. For those of you listening on podcast, you can't see what we're looking at, but it is very funny and it definitely feels like me right now.
Now, wait a minute. Anna, did you make that?
No. Yes. It's a new StreamYard option. Yes. So,
oh, it is.
Yes. So anyway.
Just made it.
Anna
original right there.
An Anna original. I thought that it was the meanest thing that I was like, how could God, why would God do that? Like, why would God do that? Why would, I actually, even now I'm like, well, how much faith do I need to have? And it's like, wow.
Well, let me ask the question you're really asking.
Until all your unbelief goes away.
You're not asking the question, why would God do that? You're saying, why would he allow Adam to sin? That's the question you're asking. And you know the reason why.
Because he gives us free will.
And without free will, we don't love him.
Right. So do you think the testing of our faith, just like the testing maybe of Israel's faith, even right now, to turn back to him, has to do with him just wanting us to love him enough to trust him?
No. So God sees the choices you're going to make, and your free will and his love allows you to make them. Once in a while, God steps in, thank you, Lord, and stops us from doing disaster. But if he did that every time, we don't have free will. So when he allows people's free will to work, many times there's a disaster. I mean, let's face it, God allowed Hamas to attack Israel. He didn't stop it. People died.
People are still dying.
Now Hamas is going to die. So really tragic, if you think about it. God allowed the Hamas leaders to start a war that they're going to die in. Sad. But for us to say, well, God's judging the Hamas, well, I guess in a certain way, but he's not the one killing them. They're getting killed by their own choices.
By their own hatred of Israel, whom they hated so much, they broke the peace treaty, barricaded into Israel and murdered Jews.
Yeah, so let's call things what they are. You know, you might look at it as a judgment from God, but then again, you might just look at it like they got their own will done.
Right.
So
it's like you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Sure, of course.
Wow. Because you are attaining the goal of your faith, and the goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls.
Of course. And of course, God's going to allow that.
I'm speechless. It's so.
I have no words. I'm like, my head is just like.
I know. I'm like, I need to process. So, you know, I need to process. So I know.
If anybody is interested, read Daniel chapter 9. It's one of the most epic chapters in the Bible. Daniel is in Babylon. His people are in Babylon. He's dying because, you know, Babylon wiped out Israel and the temple. And there is no nation of Israel. And he starts praying for the nation of Israel. One of the first things you'll notice is he's reading the Bible. Now, a lot of the Bible hadn't been written, but he's reading the book of Zechariah. I believe it's Zechariah. Could be wrong. Could be Jeremiah. I think it's Jeremiah. Sorry. Anyway, he's reading and he's realizing Israel is only supposed to be captive in Babylon for 70 years. And so he's like, hey, 70 years, about up. So he starts praying. And in Jeremiah, it says, if my people are going to pray. So he starts following what Jeremiah says, by obedience. It turns out to be one of the most intense prayers of intercession, because Daniel starts praying as if he's the one who sinned, and he's not. In fact, all the sins that he prays to be forgiven, he hasn't done them. He hasn't done any of them. And when he finishes, Gabriel shows up. And Gabriel starts showing him the end of the world. And that's where the 70 weeks comes from. He talks about the Antichrist. And he talks about the return of Christ. He talks about the final week. Don't get confused. There's 62 weeks, then 7 weeks, which totals 69 weeks. And that in Daniel, let's read it real quick.
All right. We have 3 minutes.
All right.
For session today.
Well, then this is beautiful. So
you're going to the book of Daniel.
Yep. So 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Well, we know who did that. Jesus. In everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Again, Jesus. Now know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That is 69 weeks. And the street will be rebuilt and the wall even in troublous times. After 62 weeks, Messiah will be killed. It's actually capital punishment is what it says there. But not for himself. That's right. Jesus didn't die for himself.
No.
And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. All right. Who's that? That's the Romans. They'll destroy the city and the sanctuary. That happened in 70 AD. And the end thereof will be with a flood. That was a flood of blood up to the horse's bridle.
And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined.
Right.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
All right. So that's the final week. He's talking about the Antichrist, the one of the people that shall come. He stands in the temple. There will be a temple rebuilt. And the Antichrist will stand in the middle of the temple and he will declare himself to be God. That is in the middle of the 7 weeks. In the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and oblation to cease. So 3.5 years into the 7 youth week, Antichrist shows up. So anybody that's worried about the Antichrist, don't worry about it. All right?
Not yet.
We got to get to this 70th week.
We have to see some things first.
Yeah.
So the things we might see may be crazy, but we have to see some things first.
Right.
And
after 69 weeks, Jesus came. Then the people of the prince that will come, that is the Romans or Europeans, wiped out Jerusalem.
All right.
And then that started what's called the times of the Gentiles. And that lasts up until the final week starts.
Okay. I hope the rest of you listening are like as blown away. I mean, literally, like this stuff just makes me like I need to sit and think, you know. And honestly, that's I'd like to have Roger on as a guest because it'll give us some stuff to sit and think about. Your homework is to read Daniel 9.
Because verse 25 says, "Know therefore and understand."
Yeah.
So what's our job? So to know and understand.
So know and understand from the issuing of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until an anointed one, a prince arrives, this is all going to happen. Yeah, until the Messiah arrives, this is all going
to
happen.
That was the first 69 already happened.
So we have to know and understand all of it. You know, and it's interesting because in a time where people are reading the Bible less and less, it's like time to read it more and more.
I honestly, it was funny. It was October 6th and my husband and I were sitting down to dinner. And after this, I have to let you guys go. But that night I felt I told my husband, I go, I don't know what it is, but something is going on in this world. And I feel more and more that the book I really want to be reading more is the Bible. Like, I just feel so drawn. Like, I'm grabbing all my study Bibles and, and I'm like, I want to understand. And I think it's not just like, I want to like memorize scripture to be able to say, I want to understand. So right. I think because when we understand, then we can move, I think, from a place more wisdom, right? And love. So yeah, I thank you for spurring me on today, both of you. This has been quite the experience and mind blowing hour or whatever we're at. And I'm excited to go ahead and read Daniel. I've been reading Revelation, but I'm very interested in reading Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation. So I have some things to chew on for sure. Anywho, love you guys so much.
Oh, I know. Love you too. Listen, you guys, for those of you listening, I know this is kind of a different session on Girl Club, but
you guys picked some very deep things.
Yeah. Yeah. But we want to know and we want to understand. And we hope that you want to know and understand. And I know a lot of Christians are really looking at the world and wondering, is this it? So every day we're closer to the end, but every day we're closer to the beginning, because God's plan for us is a beginning, not an end. And that's where we'll end this week. Love you, Nov.
Love you.
From the Real Girls Having a Real Talk. Yeah. Always. Thank you, Raj.
Always my pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for helping us figure out how to apply some real faith to some very real issues. Right. All right, guys, until next week from Girl Club, we'll see ya.
I'm Billy Yancey, entrepreneur, fitness cowboy, father, retired Navy cornerback, and now podcast host. Listen to my new show, Billy and the Goat, on Life Audio. Happy listening.